Hallelujah. Well, bless God. I say bless the Lord forever. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad God's with us, aren't you? Listen, I just felt impressed to pray for a couple of people and anoint them with oil. I want those girls there on that roll there. You girls come up here, right there. I'm going to pray over you. Amen. They've new converts, not been saved, you know, a long time. And so the Lord will strengthen us. You know that? He'll help us. He'll anoint us. I believe God can put a special anointing on us to make it. Hallelujah. Don't you? So I'm going to anoint them with oil. And some of you come around and we're going to pray for them that they'll be strengthened.
Yes. Amen.
With all might and power in their inner man. Hallelujah. And when the devil comes a knocking, they'll put him to rocking, you know. They'll get rid of him fast. Amen. I'll tell you, it's we need each other, especially in this last day, and we need Christians, our brothers and sisters around us to help us. You know that? Anybody else want to come up here? And I'll pray for you. Sam, come up here. I'll anoint you with oil. You know, sometimes we just get in hard places. Bible said... And the devil, you know, he put pressure on us and he wants to wear us out. Yep. Tries to wear us down and just make us weary. Come on, Steve. Whatever, you know, you're going through things. We need each other. The Bible says, bear your own burden, but it says bear one another's burdens.
Amen.
What's that mean? That means the load you're in and going through, we can just come up beside you in the spirit and just take part of that load or just hold up your hands or help you. God will strengthen you. Amen? It's supernatural. It's supernatural. Anybody else? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. William, come up here. I think the Lord wants to do something special. I know God's got his hand on William for something special. I know that. And we'll anoint him with oil and the Spirit of God. Bible says, I will be anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. Oil is a type of the anointing. It's the Bible commands us to, you can anoint people with oil for strength, for anointing, and for healing.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And so we're going to anoint them with oil. And we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God just to give them a shot.
Yes.
Of the supernatural strength, supernatural glory, supernatural power and boldness.
Yes.
Like I say, when the devil comes to knocking, we're going to pay him the rock. We've already proven we can win. The Bible says that we've been given the privilege to show to the principalities and the power of the air the manifold wisdom of our God.
Yes, that's right.
That means, Satan, I won. You see me here today, I won. You tried to take me down, but I won. I'm still here. The smoke's cleared. You know, the dust is settled and I'm still standing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we anoint Stacy, Lord, with a special strength and help for what she's walking through and going through, a special help, a special strength, a special intervention here to come alongside of and just lift her up and help her. And to let her know that no matter what, she's still standing. No matter what she's going through. No matter what, She's still a woman of God, full of the glory of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, and God's going to bless her. We're showing forth the glory. We're showing forth the wisdom to the princes. Hear us, you principalities and rulers of darkness. We will not be defeated for the supernatural strength of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being called your child. Thank you, Lord, for the honor. Lord, we anoint her with a fresh help, a fresh strength, a fresh peace, Lord, from the struggle. There's many things you've been wondering and worried about and confused about and wondering. The Lord says, I'm going to add to you. I'm not going to take away. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to help you. The Lord says, you keep leaning on me and looking to me, and don't look to the left or to the right, and don't be confused about others around you and what they do, or if they'll go on, or if they'll falter, or if they'll fail, or if they'll sit down, or if they won't walk with you or go on. You don't worry about them. You don't worry about what they do. You just keep your eyes on me. And I'll bless you, says the Lord, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. And it doesn't depend on anybody else, and it doesn't depend on anybody whether or not they hold your hand or whether they don't. You know that I've got your back, and I've got you, says the Lord. So I strengthen you, and I love you, says the Lord Jesus. I love you. I paid a price for you, and I bought you, and nothing is going to hurt you, says the Lord. Yeah, get you some oil there and you help. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for this precious, precious soul that was birthed out of the fire of hell. She was snatched out by the arm of Almighty God. She was pulled out of destruction and failure. She was pulled out of the mud, pulled out of the mire, and set on a rock. And the Lord says, I am lifting you and blessing you and encouraging you and showing you now, says the Lord, how much I love you and how much my goodness and the things I'm going to surround you with. So be bold in me, says the Lord. I've got you. I'll give you strength to make it, strength to go on, strength to run. The old life is dead. It's gone. Your old friends are gone. And I'm cutting away some things, and I'm removing some people that'll try to pull you back and try to do, they're trying to do you harm and not good, says the Lord. And I'm going to remove some relationships and remove some people that's not for you. But I'm for you, and these people are for you, says the Lord, and you continue in my strength. Father, I thank you for your love and your glory and the mighty hand of God that's on her. Lord, you saved her for a reason. You saved her for a purpose. The Lord says, oh, it's not entered into your thinking, entered into your heart, and your eyes have not seen the glory and the things I have prepared for you, daughter. Oh, the things I have prepared for you. You're my special child. I love you with a special love. I paid a tremendous price for you. I wrote a contract in blood for you, and I signed it in its seal, and the devil can't open it. No one can open it. I'll open it on that day, says the Lord, where you'll sup with me and you'll sit with me. So stay strong in me and keep on this pace, says the Lord, and you'll see the glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the presence that's on her, the gifting and ability you've given her. Lord, I thank you. The Lord says you see yourself one way, and you see yourself the way the people have said, and you see yourself the way they talked about you and things that happened to you when you was a little child. I see you when you was about 9 years old, and some things happened, and you was hurt and wounded, and it's tried to mark you, and it's tried to hurt your heart and tell you you can't make it, you're a failure. But I erased that board, says the Lord. Every accusation that was written against you, I've erased that.
Yes.
And I wrote on that, on the your heart, now what my, the way I see you and my desires for you. And I'm going to let you begin to see it. When I get through you, says the Lord, you'll see yourself the way I see you. You're beautiful in my eyes. You're talented and gracious and kind and gentle and wonderful, and you're a good mom, and you're a good mother, and you're a good woman, and I'm going to cause you to walk in that and live in that and be blessed. Don't try to make it happen. I'll make it happen for you. I'll let you live the good life, and you'll have the family that you never had, and you'll always want it. I'll give it to you, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for your love for us, your patience in dealing with us, your kindness for us. I thank you, Lord, as we anoint her with oil, that a special anointing goes inside of her, surrounds her, strengthens her, gives her boldness. I thank you, Lord, you put your word in her mouth. She's not afraid to talk about you. She's not afraid to testify for you. She's not afraid to tell the others about you. And the Lord says, you're not ashamed of me, and I won't be ashamed of you. The Lord says, I'll lift you. I'll help you. I'll bless you. I'll give you your own place. I'll give you your own place to live, and I'm going to give you the furniture, and I'm going to give you the home, the house, the place that you've always dreamed about, and you thought, I can never have that. Oh, yes, you can, says the Lord. Yes, you can have all that and more, because it's not you, it's me, and I love you, and you're worthy, says the Lord. You're worthy to walk in my goodness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give me a lot.
I'll pour
it all over. Father, we thank you for your blessings and your anointing. Father, I thank you. The Lord says, daughter, the devil made a play for you. He's trying his best to sway you and move you, and he almost had you. But you see, I marked you from an early age. I marked you with somebody in your family prayed for you, somebody when you were young, and they prayed for you. And they asked me to do things for you, and you've been marked, says the Lord. That's why the devil could never take you down. And the Lord says, I'm going to do some things for you that's been spoken over you years ago. I'm going to do some things for you, and I'm going to move you in a direction that you never thought you'd move in, says the Lord. I'm going to fill you with grace. I'm going to fill you with anointing, and I'm going to fill you with a joy, and you're going to have a love for me like you never thought you could have. You don't know me like you're going to know me, says the Lord. You don't love me like you're going to love me, says the Lord. You're going to be blessed, and I'm going to make an example out of you, says the Lord. You've got something about you that others want to follow. You've got something about you others want to hang around, and that's that leadership quality inside you, says the Lord, and I'm going to take that and use that for my glory. I'm going to mark you, and I'm going to raise you up. And the Lord says, be careful about relationships. Don't move too quickly, because I've got something very special for you. I've got something very special for you. So don't move very quickly, says the Lord, in relationships. And don't yield yourself just to things of the world. Don't yield yourself to the things that people would try to get you to move in. You stay pure and you stay holy, says the Lord. For I have marked you for my glory. I have marked you for a special work. I have marked you for this move that I'm going to move, and I'm going to give you things, and you're going to be lifted up, and people are going to run to you because you're going to lead them in, says the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you for this little fella. Lord, I bless him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the call on his life. Lord, what the enemy meant for bad, the Lord meant for good. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to use him. Lord, let the anointing of God go inside of him. Lord, let the anointing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Go inside of him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. He'll preach the word of God.
Amen.
Satan, you sure lost again.
Yes.
We want you to know you've lost again, devil.
Yes.
And nothing you can do about it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
He's praying for you now. See, praying, it's already happening. He's already
thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Don't turn my hair off. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Pray with the Lord.
You got others to pray for. You got to put the baby back.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for the special work that you've got for William. Lord said, son, there was a time you were running. There was a time that you were strong like a wild stallion that run free and had his own mind and his own will and his own way and his own stubbornness, his own zeal, and his own fire. And the Lord says, I'm not going to remove any of that. I'm just channeling all that in my direction. That stubbornness that you've got, you're going to use that toward the devil. And you're going to use that zeal and that fire and that fight toward the enemy and toward his work. For I'm going to begin to share some things with you, says the Lord. And I'm going to put my heart inside of you. And you'll think like me. You'll have the timing of the Lord. You'll feel like me. You'll be overwhelmed at times of the compassion of the Lord for people. Other times you'll be angry at the way people do. And the way people see you and the way people feel about me, says the Lord. And other times that you'll weep and cry. But that's me, says the Lord. That's my heart and my feelings. For I'm going to begin to roll you and shape you and move you in the same mold that I desired from the foundations of the world for you. And I'm going to fill your mouth, and you're going to speak my word, and you're going to declare my anointing, and you'll lay hands on the sick, and you'll see them recover. There are going to be people in your own neighborhood that you're going to go visit, and they're going to call for you. They're going to see that you have something. They're going to see that you have an anointing, and they'll call for you. And you'll lead people to the Lord. You'll lead old people to the Lord that's been stubborn and hard-hearted for a long time. You're going to have a way of breaking into that. It's called the anointing. And I'm going to give you anointing for the lost and anointing for the sick. And I'm going to bless you, says the Lord. And you'll be blessed financially. And I'm going to keep you and stay where you're at now because I'm training you. And then I'm going to move you out into the fullness of the things I have for you. So be blessed in me, says God. Father, I thank you that I surround him with the love of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God for this time in his life. I thank you, Lord, for a hunger to learn. I thank you, Lord, for a hunger to know. All he says, Lord, I want to know more. I want to be more. And the Lord said, I put that in you, and I'm going to teach you, says the Lord. And this time you're in now, you're anointed to learn. You're anointed to be taught, and I'm going to teach you because the grace is on you, says the Lord. Father, I thank you for Sam. I thank you, Lord, the devil is a liar.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the heart. He has a heart, and I rebuke that intimidation. I rebuke that false lying spirit that's trying to cause him to fear, that's trying to cause him to be intimidated, and we release him from the fear of man.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you're putting a boldness in him that he's not going to care what people think. He's not going to care what people says. He don't care, Lord, and it's not going to be a bad thing. He's going to love them anyway, and he's going to care anyway. And, Lord, I thank you that you're releasing him from the struggles to try to find the path. You're releasing him from the struggles to try to find the way. The Lord says, I'm the way, I'm the path, and you're already on it, says the Lord. So rest in me. Take the pressure off. Nothing's going to happen to you that I won't allow, says the Lord. I'm not going to allow you to lose. I'm not going to allow you to go under. It doesn't matter what men says. It doesn't matter what people say. I'm not going to allow it to happen, says God. I'm going to take care of you. So I want you to rest in me. I want you to take the pressure off yourself. You're trying too hard, says the Lord. You're trying too hard. You're pushing too hard. Just rest and let me do it, says God. I'll take you all the way in, and I'll give you the relationship. I'll give you the freedom. I'll give you the anointing. I'll give you all those things that desire in your heart, and know that I put that in there. Man didn't put it in there. You didn't think it up. I did. So rest in me and watch me bring it to pass. Watch what I do for you, says the Lord, for I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be blessed. You're already blessed. So rest. Take the pressure off. Doesn't matter what man says. It don't make a bit of difference. Enjoy the life I've given you. Enjoy the life. In Jesus' name, I break that pressure. I break that intimidation and that fear in the name of Jesus that we all can have. I break that off of him. I thank you, Lord. He is not afraid of man. He is not afraid to be himself. He's not afraid to step out. Yes, people will like him. Yes, people will love him. He doesn't need to apologize for anything. He's already arrived. You made him this way. You gave him that personality. You made him the way you like, and you love it, and you like it, and it gives you pleasure, Lord. And I thank you for Sam in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Glory.
We're praying for you. Praise the Lord. We're praying for you. Praise the Lord. This is all we're to. Huh?
Oh,
you got to get in line over here. That's the wrong line. Praise the Lord. You ready to speak in tongues? Huh? Praise the Lord. You know how to do it, don't you? The Bible says, if anyone asked the Lord for bread, he'd give them bread and wouldn't give them a stone. If he asked for fish, he'd give them a fish and not give them anything else. He said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. So all you got to do is want it. You want it. Yeah. The qualification is to be born again and desire the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to fill you. Now, the Bible says that they laid hands on them and they began to speak in tongues. They spoke in tongues. Now, the Holy Spirit, when we pray for you, he will come on you. I'll guarantee it. He'll come on you, and he will baptize you. Jesus baptized in the Holy Ghost. He will baptize you tonight in the Holy Ghost. Now, but you've got to speak. You do the speaking. He gives the utterance. See what I'm saying? It's your tongue. You have to give voice to what you're feeling. You'll feel it in here, and you'll have a urgency to say something. Your tongue will get thick, you know, and but you don't know what to say because it's not a known language. It's not in your head. It's coming out of here. So all you got to do is yield your tongue to it. And a lot of times it's people do like that, and I'll say, move your tongue. And it just starts flowing out then. It's like you just open the gate and it runs out. Praise the Lord. I lift your hand. Close your eyes. Say, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
For baptizing me.
For baptizing me.
And the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I desire to be filled.
To be filled.
With the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
And when hands are laid on me.
And when hands are laid on me.
I will receive.
The Holy Spirit.
I will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and
I will
speak in tongues
as the Holy Spirit
gives me the utterance.
Gives me the utterance.
Thank you, Lord, for it.
Thank you, Lord, for it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, I'm going to lay hands on you. Keep your eyes closed. I'm going to lay hands on you. And I don't want you to say another word in English. I want you to yield your tongue and let it flow. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we baptize him in the Rostanda Rebecca. That's it.
Skin muscular smile in your nose,
a Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let me tell you what you're saying. You're prophesying your future. Here's some of the things you said. You were saying, Lord, I will obey you. Lord, I will follow my call. Lord, I will do what you told me to do. I will preach your word. I will stand, and the utterance of God shall flow out of me, and I will obey you, for you're my Lord. From this day forth, I will obey you.
Hallelujah.
Now, some of the things you say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not a big man for Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, sometimes we think, you know, that everything is just a coincidence, that Hannah met him, you know, and she liked him, and he liked her, he said, you want to go out? And she said, well, I guess. She might have asked him. And she said, well, I guess. And they hung around kind of real easy and going, and they began to like each other. And we think that was just coincidence, or that was just, you know, well, he was here and I was here. I'll tell you, God. And he start coming to church here, you know, and just hanging out. And, you know, I watched him and prayed and kept my eye on him and all that and seen what going on. God.
Yeah.
But God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We didn't have a thing to do with it. He just puts us the right time, the right place.
Amen.
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 You couldn't figure it out in 100 years. You couldn't make it. Sam, you couldn't work it out no matter what you tried to do. You can't make things happen. William, you can't make it happen. We just going around minding our own business, trying to worry and frustrate ourselves and butt our heads, and God does it in spite of us.
Yeah, that's right.
And when we get there, we say, how did I get here?
Yeah.
We wind up meeting certain person and wind up getting married and all that and say, did I do this? No, God.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Just like with you. Same way. Huh? Same way. You're talking about a fireball.
Yeah, boy.
You talk somebody's got wound up for Jesus. Praise the Lord. You better get out and give her some room.
That's right.
Amen. Father, I thank you for the anointing of God. Thank you for the zeal of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for her life. Lay hands on her belly. Shikinda Roman Ghosti Padi Namanda. Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it will. Shkamandagindi. Rabatishtoro. Ding digindobro. Posta. Well, yes, it will. It'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen in time. You might as well get used to it. It'll be there, running around under your feet. Ori dosto, bandregiste. Thank you, Lord, for the plans you have for us. Mighty plans, mighty plans, mighty plans. We seal it, Lord. Her future. In Jesus' mighty name. And you'll teach little ones. You'll instruct little ones. You'll impart to some. And you'll see the healing glory of God. You'll see miracles, says the Lord. I'll release you in it. You'll walk in it. You'll be in it. In that glory. For you'll not be satisfied anymore from this day forth until you see my glory in its fullest. You'll move in it, flow in it, walk in it, and live in it. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that anointing that's greater and more than anything that I'd rather be anointed, Lord. Father, thank you. Silemondre mika shoko riba didu do so voto. Nagnigalong yushkote. Lombrekenji gidiganda. Mande, dande, mande. Yeah, just release it. Let him have it. Broga. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. It's done. Ukskidi, it's okay. Just lift your little hands and just begin to praise him for doing it. Just praise him for doing it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of God. Thank you, Lord, for the strength of God.
Thank you.
Daughter, you're worried about things that you don't need to worry about. You're concerned about things that's really not your concern. You're trying to do things that you shouldn't be trying to do, and you're going about some things the wrong way. But the Lord said, I'll steer you in the right direction. I'll help you with those things. I'll move you. So quit getting frustrated. All you got to do is forgive and let things go. It's best way, says the Lord, just to live in the freedom of forgiveness and love and blessing. And surround your home with the love of God, the strength of God, and the blessings of God. I'll do the rest. Just walk in that abundance of my grace. And walk in the abundance of that love. Walk in the abundance of my forgiving power. And let love do its work. It'll do its work. It'll do its work. There's a time to be bold. There's a time to be aggressive. There's a time to not. So I'm going to teach you the difference. Now, Father, I thank you for giving her the grace to move in the dimensions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that it? Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. In the name of Jesus. Good right here. Thank you, Lord. Shigilibanda. Lord, we anoint them. Lord, we anoint Ben with a special strength of healing power, anointing. Thank you, Lord. He's a giver, and you're a giver. He's a blesser, and you're a blesser. Lord, he's a good steward, and you're a good steward, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for enabling him to be more of what he wants to be. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, I've called both of you together. I've called you to pull together, walk together, push together, and be together. So listen to each other. Before you make a decision, write it down. Check it out with me and agree on it. And when you do, it'll come to pass. Make sure you're on the same page I'm on. Make sure both of you's on the same page. And stand your ground and push. You'll see it open. You'll see the ground break. You'll see the heavens open. And you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You got a wife? Good. I'm glad. Father, what's your name?
Corbin.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your hand that's on him. We mark him for the glory of God.
Yes.
We mark him for the presence of God and the Spirit of God. And the Lord says, if you'll stand bold, you'll see things around you change. If you'll stand bold in my name, you'll see things happen. If you'll stand bold in my name and not be intimidated by those around, you'll see things happen. You'll see those friends around you come to the Lord. You'll see things begin to open up. You'll see things happen for you. I'll make an example out of you. I'm looking for people to show myself strong in their behalf. And if you'll have a perfect heart, or if you'll have a yielded heart, or you'll have a heart after me, then I will show myself strong in your behalf, and you'll be an example to all those around. And the peer pressure, you'll have the pressure. And you'll put it on the peers. And they'll see and they'll know and they'll want to be like you. For people your age are looking for truth. And I'm putting truth in you, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, that's good, wasn't it? Just felt like anointing some people. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Listen. Now, I was going to preach out of Ecclesiastes, but I'm not. And tonight, so we get kids over there, though, they'll think we all backslid if we turn out now. Let me go about 10 minutes here in Ecclesiastes, and we'll quit. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Ecclesiastes, the very word, means preacher. It means one who stands before a crowd or an audience and declares a message. We hear the Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. You know who Solomon was? That's King David's son that he had out of a relationship that was not planned. Well, who knows? He committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed Bathsheba's husband. Lied about it, did all kind of things, and they had Solomon, the first baby she had, died. The one that he committed adultery with her, and she got pregnant. First baby died. Well, she had another baby named Solomon. And God's blessed him. He is the one God chose to be king. I mean, go figure. Who would, that doesn't mean you go out now and have adultery and think God's going to bless it. You know? Well, God can turn our mess into something. I always say God's the only one who can unscramble eggs. We can scramble them, he can straighten them out, make something out of it. But King Solomon, he was anointed king when he was 18 years old. He was king for 40 years. God came to him the night or the day they dedicated the temple. And he said, what would you have me do for you? Ask anything that you want, and I'll give it to you. Wow, you've seen a movie where they pull that genie out of the bottle and, you know, rub it. And he said, you got three wishes. Well, by doing that, I'd say, first wish would be I want 10 more. Amen. Why not? Never thought of that. And I'd wish for something. The last wish, I'd say, I want 10 more. You dumb genie. But God showed up and said, ask anything you want, anything. There's what ruined most of us with backslide right there. But Solomon said, I don't know. So I'm young, and I don't know how to come in and go out. I don't know how to lead these great people of yours. I don't know how to be king. Would you give me the wisdom to know how to govern your people and give me the ability to know right from wrong? That was wisdom in his answer. That was great wisdom. Give me the ability to know right and wrong, and give me the ability to govern your great people. And God did. And God says, because of your humility and because you answered well, I'm going to make you rich. And I'm going to give you power over all your enemies. Wow. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Well, look, Solomon, he was a great king. He expanded the territory. He divided Israel up into, I think, 15 different sections. He built a great army all around. And Israel prospered more under his reign than any other reign. But he began to tax the people and put great burdens on the people. And he began to, he thought this is the way through his wisdom. See, his greatest strength became his biggest weakness. It will. An unguarded strength is your greatest weakness. His unguarded strength was his downfall. His wisdom became his greatest enemy. He was wise. And he thought, I'll use my wisdom. Instead of fighting and conquering all these territories, I'll make an alliance with them or a covenant with them and get in agreement with them like that. And so he did, and they began to hear of this, that he wanted to make alliance and he wanted to be friendly and make covenant with people. And they said, he's strong, got the strongest army. He said, let's make a covenant with him. So these kings in Egypt and Hittites and all the Ites and said, well, let's do this. Why don't you marry my daughter, and we'll be in a covenant together. I won't attack you. I'm not going to attack my son-in-law. And you won't attack your wife's father, your father-in-law. And so we'll be at peace. That was good. Did he had 300 of them, 300 wives. Then all these kings and all these other countries, and when they came to visit Solomon in his glory, they brought gold and silver and jewels and beautiful girls. That's one of the things they did. When they come to see you, as kings to king, you know, they'd bring them gifts. And they'd bring them beautiful girls to be in their palace. And so they began to bring Solomon beautiful women. Like 700 of them. How wise can you be? Started out good, but it started in the flesh. Anything starts in the flesh winds up wrong. And so he had 700 women. I mean, 1,000. He had 700 concubines, 300 wives. But what happened? These women came in, and they began to bring their false gods. And they began to worship their false gods. And Solomon, to get along and to keep peace, he said, well, you know, I can't worship that God now. I can't do that because my God's very strict about that. I have to worship Him and Him only. And He had this big garden where He worshiped God and where God. So He said, well, you just come on, put your God in with my God in the same garden, same place, and you can worship your God and I'll worship my God and we can get along. There's nothing wrong with that. Sounds to me like that's good. There, we got a thing today in the body of Christ called Chrislam, where charismatic Islam are mixing. Same thing Solomon did. But Solomon didn't know that angered God. And that's the very thing that caused him to have his downfall. It turned, the Bible said, it turned his heart away from God. And when his heart was turned away from God, he began to fail. And he began to get very miserable. Solomon wrote Proverbs, and it's a good book. Had a lot of wisdom in it, a lot of knowledge in it, a lot of good things in it. I enjoy reading Proverbs. Do you? There's 31 Proverbs, one for each day of the month. And they're very good. And you can read one every day. But now here we come to the book Ecclesiastes, and it's written by, he called himself the preacher. He said, I've got something to tell you. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes out of a backslidden state. And basically all he says, listen, I've tried everything. In the first two chapters, it says, in verse 12, it says, I, the preacher, 87 times in this book is the word I. 17 times it says me. 19 times mine. So it's all about him. That's what happens when you get away from God. You become the sinner. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out wisdom, education. Solomon said, listen, he didn't have any peace then. He didn't have any joy. Didn't have any gladness. He was miserable. He said, I know what will bring me peace. If I can get really educated, if I can get really smart, I know that I'll have peace. The world today, all they push young people, all they say, education, education. Your success is education. If you get the education, you'll go far. Education, education. Solomon wrote here, and he said, vanity. The word vanity means empty, nothing to it. He said, I became very educated in all the books that I could find, and I was still miserable. I found out it was vanity. That's what it is today. If you think education is going to answer your problem, you're wrong. I discourage kids now, a lot of them, from going to college. That's the biggest lie that's been pushed on us. But it's hard to probably get a job if you don't have a college education. They spend thousands of dollars getting an education most of them never use when they get out. They never use it. Go get something that's a good skill. If you're going to get in the medical field in some fields, you know, that pays, don't waste your time. People, kids will go to college trying, and they'll just try to come up with anything to go for. No, you can go get one of these local schools, you know, and AB Tech and Tech College. You can get all you need in a lot of these. If you're going now to continue and get a higher education in whatever field you're in, but education not your answer. You need education. God don't bless dumb people. But to think of education alone, it's what's going to cause you to prosper. Solomon said it don't work. Then he got over in, where was the second one I've marked here? Oh, yeah. And he said, chapter 2, verse 1. So I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. I said in my madness, what does it accomplish? I searched my heart now. To everything I could find to gratify my flesh. I've tried wine, wisdom, and they hold. So next thing he went after is pleasure. He anything he could think of that would bring him pleasure, he went after that. And when he got through, he said, empty. Vanity. I'm still miserable. It didn't work. The Bible says in the last day there'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If you think your peace and your joy is at the lake, and you invest all your money and all your time and all your weekends at the lake, you find that's the most empty, vanity thing you can do. And after a while, you're as empty as last year's bird's nest. There's nothing to it. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you think that's what brings you peace and gives you rest and brings you joy, it will not. It will not. Everybody, if you can afford it, needs a place they can go or whatever. Number three, he said, in verse 5, I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kind of fruit trees. I made myself water pools from which to water and growing trees. I acquired every male and female servant. I had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possession of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and every special treasure of kings and providence. I made male and female singers, delights of the son of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained in me. In other words, he said, I backslid, but I still had the wisdom God gave me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from me. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For all my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. And I looked on all the works of my hands had done, and the labor in which I had toiled. Now then, he went after pleasure. Next, he said, that wasn't bringing me anything. The next, I work hard. I noticed, if you read Ecclesiastes, one time he was laying in his bed, couldn't sleep. He had 16 guards around his bed because he was afraid there's going to slip in and kill him. He had the special forces, like we'd have special forces or the elite or Navy SEALs. He had them around his bed in his bedroom of a night out of fear somebody was going to kill him. He couldn't sleep. And outside his window, he heard workers. He had them building and doing things in his garden. And they were laughing and talking about home and talking about all that and having a good time. And they'd go home and rest and sleep. And he said, I know what I'm missing. I need to work hard like they are. And so he got in working hard and doing all kinds of things. He became a workaholic. And he just said, this is what will fulfill me. He wound up with all the things he had in the animal and everything. Vanity. He said, I found out that's empty. Nothing is going to fulfill me. And I looked on all my works that my hands had done and all the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all of it was vanity, grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Then I turned myself and considered wisdom and madness of folly. For what can a man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, and I was wise in my own eyes. And so he wound up. Now look over in verse 17. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all his vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor. In other words, what he said, I hated my job. What he said, I hate my job, in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to a man who comes after me that's done nothing. This is good for people who work and toil and lay up, won't spend, won't do anything, and they grasp it and hoard it up, and you won't spend it, and you die, somebody gets it, and they say, We're going to have a good time with old stingy things money. That's what he's saying. And I found out you work hard and toil all your life and get all this stuff and you save it up and you put it there and you won't buy what you want and have a good, and he says, and you die and you leave it to somebody who don't even like you. And he says, I found out that this is vanity. He said, this is foolish. And I've seen people like that. Leave thousands of dollars. I know the man where we lived on his farm as sharecroppers. He wasn't a Christian, had all kind of money. He died, he and his wife died. They had no children, had nothing. I know he left $450,000 to education. Didn't give it to the church. Didn't give it to anybody. My daddy made him a lot of money, but he didn't give my daddy nothing. Left it to some school education, put in education, to people he don't even know. He died and went to hell, had all that money. His wife was an invalid. Something happened to her. He had to take care of her for years. Didn't enjoy life, didn't enjoy his money. Didn't enjoy anything, was stingy, and died, left it all. God says, you fool, you're a fool. I know people like that. Very wealthy. Had an uncle, you know, very wealthy, had a lot of money. But his son died before he did. He died, nobody leave it to. And his wife died, nobody leave it to. I don't know who got it all. Church didn't get it. People didn't get it. It needed it. It's left to people just to squander and throw it away and all that. And it didn't bless anything. Didn't bless nothing. And they go on and leave this world. Solomon said, I've seen that happen. I hate my job in which I toil under the sun because I leave it to a man who will come after me. And who knows whether or not he would be wise or a fool. Yet he will rule over all my work in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wiser under the sun than, and this also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart in despair of all the labor in which I had toiled night and day. There is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and great evil. For what has man for all his work and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all the days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This is also vanity. Nothing is better for a man than he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. This is vanity and grasping for the wind. That's wisdom. Over in chapter 3, verse 13, and I also that every man should eat and drink, enjoy good all his labor. This is a gift of God. Then he goes on to talk about all that. So Solomon found out that all the things in his life that he tried to fulfill himself with and be happy with, he found that none of it brought him any pleasure whatsoever. He's backslid away from God. And he tried everything. He had the money to do it. The reason most Christians don't do the things Solomon did, they don't have the money. So we don't have any money, we have to go to church. You'd be surprised if people that If they won the lottery, go to church, you never see them again. It's in their heart. They just can't afford to be a sinner. They can't afford it. We can't afford to take off. We can't afford not to spend it and do all the things Solomon did. If we could afford it, you'd be surprised how many Christians, if God made them rich tomorrow, you'd never see them again. God knows that. He knows that. He can't trust them with money. Are you out there? You said, I wouldn't be that way. David said, try my heart, see if there's any wicked way in it. You don't know. It'll come out. I'll guarantee you. Over in the 12th chapter, Solomon finally came down to where he repented and got things right before he died. He died when he was 58 years old. He ruled 40 years. He wrote 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs. Smart man. Look in verse 13. Let us hear then what's the conclusion of the whole matter in life. He's talking about life. What is life? Listen, he said, listen, brother and sister, I've tried it all. I've had it all. I've done it all. I had money. I had women. He had 1,000 women. He could have any other woman he wanted. And he wrote the Song of Solomon looking for a woman. Who can find a good woman, virtuous woman? Who can find a good woman? Well, brother, he had all the wrong kind, didn't he? Still looking for her. He said, I had all the money, I had the education, I had anything I need. And if he stood here tonight and testifying, he said, you better listen to me. All you young kids and all you people better listen to me. If you think it's out there in the world, then the devil is lying to you. You're running after what I had. And I found out it was nothing but vanity and empty, and I wound up as a miserable old man. At 58, broken, away from God and miserable. But he did come back to God and left us a testimony. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is all for man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Wow. That's a good way to close out your life. That was on his tombstone. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that's all you need to do. Wow. How many church people get it? Stand up with me. Wisest man, the richest man, had billions of dollars. Look at Bill Gates. Look at some of these people. Oh, what's that guy's name? Jobs. How many billions of dollars he had? Bill Gates is what he got, $50 billion. What is his life? It's a vapor. Here today and gone. You go off into eternity, he'll take none of it with him. Somebody died, rich man died one day, and somebody said, I wonder how much he left. Somebody said, all of it. Every bit of it. Father, we thank you for the testimony of Solomon. Let us hear the words of the wisest man to ever live. It ain't out there. It's not out there. It's not in money, not in all the things of the world. It's only in God where he found his fulfillment and joy and pleasure. Thank God he come back. Thank God he repented and come back to God. But at 58, thank you, Lord, for blessing us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm glad you come to church. Praise the Lord. All right, you're dismissed.